I'll come right in.
Rock flag and eagle.
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Cheergating. We are heading into week 5 of college football, and I am here with co-founder of Belly Up Sports at bellyupsports.com and a regular contributor as well, Brandon Sharples. Say what up.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I'm co-founder of Belly Up Sports. I do a lot of the gambling picks, football articles, basically any pieces that are going to be in extreme length. I write the longest articles, so... Yeah, just check me out, Brandon. I'm on Twitter, but I really don't use my Twitter as much as I should, so I will start growing my Twitter pretty much from this point forward. So it'd be like at Brandon Sharples at Twitter.
Well, as the guy that's in charge of SEO for the website, I love the longer content, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this week, we kind of talked about it a little bit. We're going to talk about my continual lists that I'm making for biggest losers in college football each week. We're going to talk about some Heisman hopefuls, and then I think you're going to wrap it up with some betting picks since I'm fucking terrible at that. So let's dive into it. You want to talk about biggest losers from this last weekend?
Yeah, I want to hear your list, and then I'll add to that.
Okay, I got to think about it because I don't have it up in front of me. Let's see, I think number one, I had Boston College. What do you think?
Yeah, because they had a nice win over Wake Forest. I know that sounds weird, but Wake Forest is looking pretty good.
Yeah, they're not a bad team.
Not a bad team, and Boston College was looking really good. Their quarterback was playing excellent. They got that Dylan at running back. Then they kind of shit the bed. Shit the bed real bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, me and you both know that the Big Ten is way overrated this year. I know you loved the article I wrote. You're going to write something similar. So losing to Purdue was like the worst thing that could possibly happen to you.
They lost handedly too.
Right, and Purdue is just bad. They're a really, really bad team. And here's the deal with Boston College is I think we actually might have jumped on that train a little too early. When you look at their wins, it's, you know, other than Wake Forest, which is like a maybe, you know, decent win, they didn't really have anything that stood out to be like, oh, wow, this is a ranked team. This is a competitor. And, you know, I'm sitting on my high horse saying it now, but last week in the podcast, I said they look like a good team that could compete in the ACC, and they should be ranked. And now I feel like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you know, you never know with college football, you know what I mean? Like, from week to week, when you have the – you're going to get what you get from Bama and Clemson and all that stuff. Those are the guys you can count on, but it's those lower-ranked teams that are sneaking in and out of the top 25 that you really don't know what you're going to get from them, you know what I mean? Like Boston College or Arizona State or any of those – like Michigan State, you really don't know what the hell you're going to get from those guys, and that it makes it hard to bet on them too.
Well, so I know coming from a betting side like you, that really sucks. Coming from just an angry side, which is what I am, I love when Arizona State and Michigan State fail because I think they both suck dick. It's the Boston Colleges that piss me off because I'm like, I vouch for you, motherfucker, and I never do that. I hate everybody. So I looked like a fucking idiot on that one. That was my number one. My number two was Virginia Tech. I don't know if you can argue that one, but I'd love to hear it if you can.
Oh, of course not. I can't argue with that one. That was one of the biggest upsets in the last decade, for sure. I know that there's other, like, bigger spread upsets, like Howard over UNLV. It was like a 50-point spread.
Right. I think that was the biggest, record. Yeah.
But who the hell watched that game, and who even cared?
Right.
Like, I was like, oh, that's crazy. But that's, the gist of it. I didn't go 30 seconds further with it. And then, like, obviously Appalachian State over Michigan. Then you have, like, James Madison over Virginia Tech, like, in 2010. You have a couple other ones.
What about Houston opening up our season beating OU? Come on, don't forget that one.
There's that one. But you guys, weren't you guys ranked?
I don't think we never get preseason ranked. That's like a thing of when you're in the G5.
I thought you were like 23rd or something. I thought you were ranked for some reason.
Maybe. I know, like, we obviously were ranked highly after that game. But I was out of that game. It was fucking unbelievable.
There's been like Troy over LSU.
That one was kind of LSU wasn't good.
I think there was like McNeese State. I think they beat like Arkansas.
That's not much of one like, anyway. Oh, okay. I was going to say, if that was recent, that doesn't count.
No, that was like back when Arkansas was like okay. Perennial, like in and out of the top 25.
Yeah, SEC upset team, which they're good at up until they hired Chad Morris. I wrote an article when they first hired him saying that that was a bad hire and he's not going to be good for the program. And I'm actually happy that Arkansas is failing right now just to prove my point because I'm so spiteful.
Well, you're from that area. Aren't you from that area where Southern Methodist is?
I hate SMU. They're up in Dallas. It's a rich, snobby school. I went to University of Houston, which is like in the hood, inner city. So we hate SMU. And so I know it sounds like I'm just being like spiteful because I don't like the school, but I really don't think Chad Morris was that very good of a head coach at SMU. I'm not going to get into that, though. That's a whole thing. but yeah, Virginia Tech losing to Buffalo. I mean, there's nothing to say there. The only reason that wasn't my number one pick instead of BC.
No, Old Dominion.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're good.
hey, Buffalo's good, though, too, this year. We're going to talk.
Yeah, they smash Rutgers.
I'm actually going to talk about them in a second. That's why they're on my mind. But the reason I had Virginia Tech at number two instead of number one was just because I think Virginia Tech can bounce back from this loss, and I don't know how much BC is going to be able to bounce back from their loss.
Yeah, well, BC. I mean, they got some tough teams coming. They got Clemson coming
exactly.
up. But
exactly.
And that's towards the end. That's like their third. But they got right in a row. They got Virginia Tech. No, they got Miami, Virginia Tech, Clemson, yep. Florida State. Maybe Florida State kind of – maybe they have a little bit of a
– They're
going to
beat
turnaround.
Florida State. Yeah. unless they have a turnaround, you're right.
Yeah. They could, you know, at the end of the year, maybe they get that offense down that – I can't remember what the hell that offense is called that Taggart runs. It's got a specific name. But and then they end with Syracuse, who's actually a really tough team this year, playing really good ball.
Right.
So, I mean, they're actually – you could see – Boston College losing like four or five games by the time the season's over.
Yeah, I think in the article I wrote that I can only see them with like three or four more wins, maybe, is what I said. I'm not looking at their schedule now, but I think that's what I wrote. So yeah, that's why they're in my number one instead of number two. And then number three, TCU.
Yeah, which sucks because I actually hyped them. They were in my lock of the week last week against Texas.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, I did extremely well. I went 7-3, but they were my lock. Like they were supposed to be my guarantee. I was 3-0 on guarantees before that, and they just shit the bed.
Yep.
They shit the bed on me last year. Last year they played Texas, and I think did they beat Texas last year?
Yeah, it's been four consecutive years in a row.
Until this year.
Yep. Yeah, this ended the streak for them.
Yeah, last year I had a parlay. It was like a 10-game parlay. And the last game I needed Texas to cover 7.5 on TCU, and they lost, I think it was like 8 or 9, somewhere around there. Cost me 4.2K.
Oh.
I went 9-10, and I was actually at the University of Michigan. I went to the University of Michigan versus Minnesota game. I was sitting in the stands. Super foggy, rainy. And I'm getting rained on looking at my phone, and I'm like talking to my buddies like, this shit is going down. Fucking TCU's down to 30, man. They're about to kick a field goal. Fumble. Like,
yep.
Shit. Like, I end up going to the concession stand when the game went final. I'm just like, I don't even want to go back in the Big House right now. I just want to go home.
Damn, that sounds fun, though. I haven't gone to any Big Ten games. I would love to attend a Big Ten game someday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I spent most of my time, I've been in the Big House a couple times, and I've been to Notre Dame, like, a lot.
Damn.
Like, that's cool. Like, a bunch.
I've been to a lot of Big 12 and SEC, but no Big Ten. Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
My biggest loser, not my biggest loser, but one of my losers is Mississippi State. I know that Kentucky is actually kind of a legit team. But
yeah, come on, man.
Hold on. Mississippi State had high hopes. Like, they were, like, supposed to, you know, they were looking like a dark horse to maybe compete in the SEC West preseason. Obviously, we see where Bama's at now.
Yeah. It's
but they returned a shit ton of talent, like a ton, like pretty much their best team they've returned in forever, even better than Dak's team when they came back. And
You have to give them a little leeway though with the new head coach. You got to do that with any program, because sure. regardless of how much talent you're returning, a new head coach, you know, brings on a whole new program. So you got to give them a little bit of space. So I mean, I don't count them in. I mean, it's understandable that you do. I don't count them in though, because number one, Kentucky's a good team this year, better than I think anybody expected. And number two, I think they're still going to compete and have a good season.
Well, no, that's the thing. I think this is why I gave them their loser, because they're playing Florida next. And I know Florida's down. I'm a huge Florida fan, but they have Mullen, who was their old coach. He knows right. that team inside and out. Florida's starting to come into their own a little bit with the Mullen system. They're actually getting healthier. They got a bunch of defensive linemen, depth back. Franks is playing okay, and their wide receivers are actually starting to play lights out. So that's a trap game for Mississippi State, because the following week they play Auburn. The following week after that they play LSU. The following week after that they play Texas A&M. So potentially,
yeah,
potentially Mississippi State can lose five in a row.
Yeah,
and they could be 3-5 at the end of that. At the very, I think the best case scenario, they're 4-4. It like from my, and then 2 weeks after that they play Bama.
Dude, just think, though, that's how good the SEC is. Because I think Mississippi yeah. State is a really good team. But I agree. I mean, with that lineup, I think they'll probably beat Florida. But you're right. It is probably. Kind of a trap game. So I'm not going to totally give that to them. And then, yeah, LSU, Auburn, A&M. I mean, they would have to upset one of those teams. So
yeah, and then 2 weeks later at Bama.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
At least they get Arkansas and Ole Miss. That's...
Yeah, but Ole Miss is like one of those teams too, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's true. Rival. It's a rivalry game. You can't just...
And they're always playing close.
And that goes back to what I was going to say about Texas. I never bet on or against Texas. I have a few times, but they always play to their competition. It's just what they do. So, I don't know. It's hard to bet on them, especially in like a OU game. You know, they could be a dog shit team with like... 4 wins and still somehow beat like a number 4 Oklahoma. So I just, you know, living in Austin, I can't stand when UT is good.
Yeah. So, I think another huge loss was Oklahoma State getting smoked by Texas Tech.
That was my number 4, but I put the entire state of Oklahoma, not just Oklahoma State, because number 1, Oklahoma State getting just whooped by Tech. First of all, I want to mention I feel so much better about the Houston loss. I feel so much better because I'm like, okay, I'm not fucking crazy. Tech now with their new freshman quarterback, was it Alan Bowman, I think his name is?
Yeah.
He clearly is actually that good. I'm not fucking crazy. Granted, our defense was bad in that game, but at least we scored a shit ton more than Oklahoma State. So I feel a little bit better about that. And I think that's also a sign that Tech is actually a good team this year.
And they play West Virginia this week. So I think you're going to be wanting to take the over on that game.
Yeah. I mean, I think West Virginia will win. But I don't know, man. Tech is looking really good. I know we'll talk about Will Grier a little bit later. But that'll be a really good game this weekend.
Yeah. And the spread for the Army-Oklahoma game was too big. I actually wish that I put that on my betting list, because I actually bet it in real life. I took Army plus 31. They just run the ball a lot. Yeah. They're going to play ball control. So I didn't expect them to go to overtime. I actually didn't expect it to be a great game. I just thought they would keep it within 4 touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they did. They obviously went to overtime. So
yeah, they did more than that.
Once I wrote the article, once I posted it, obviously I'm not going to go change my shit. But at the same time, I was like, man, I should have took Army, because I took Army – against Hawaii, I took them at minus 6.5 when everybody thought that Hawaii would win that game straight up, because Hawaii was on that little run,
right,
playing really well. But I like Army this year. I like them. They seem to be covering every game.
Dude, the Army-Navy game this year is going to be great.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one.
Oregon should be a loser because they had that game in tow. That game was over, and then they end up losing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Stanford fan. I actually think Stanford's the most overrated team in the country. I do. From the point that they're at number 7. I
know they're like right now, not just like of all time. Okay.
Oh, no, the country, just like right now, because they're at
sitting at number 7. Yeah, okay, yeah. I probably agree with you on that one.
Because I think, all right, so Notre Dame put in Ian Book. He's actually He's a pretty good passer. He lit Wake Forest up. Actually, he ran well too. They just seem to have a spark with him, and I think they turned a corner offensively with a new QB that they're familiar with. Wimbush just couldn't move the ball down the field. He's just a running quarterback, and that's really not Notre Dame style. So I think that Notre Dame improved enough just in that 1 week with Book under center that they're gonna drill Stanford.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I actually was looking at Notre Dame's schedule last week, looking for a loss. I'm really still hoping that Virginia Tech takes them down, just because I don't know. I don't ever want Notre Dame to do so well. So
I mean, I grew up like a Notre Dame fan with my family and stuff. So, and I've been to a lot of games, so I want them to do good. I don't really see a loss on that schedule anymore.
That's what's worrisome.
At the beginning of the year, that schedule looked crazy.
Yeah.
And obviously things tamed down a bit. And that sends to happen. Notre Dame had that happen maybe 6 or 7 years ago. They preseason, and after like week two, like it had to have been like 8 of 10 teams were ranked at one point on their schedule. And then, you know, it cleared itself up down the road. But at one point, it looked like they had like an all-time schedule.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame does know how to schedule. Obviously, they're independent.
Their schedule's awesome.
So, right, it's great for them. I mean, that's honestly, when the Big 12 inevitably falls apart, which it will, Texas honestly should probably just go independent and follow suit with Notre Dame, since they already have the Longhorn Network.
Well, there used to be a lot more independent teams than people realize.
Yeah. Yeah,
like Pittsburgh used to be independent. Penn State used to be independent. Like when Pittsburgh won their national title, I believe it was 1976-ish. I think it was 1976. They won a national title as an independent.
Right.
Penn State's national championships are all independent. So yeah. People always think that the Big Ten has old titles from Penn State. They don't. Penn State was independent in like 85 and 83 when they won those. That was not Big Ten Penn State. That was independent Penn State playing a wide range of schedules that were not Big Ten related. And I don't think people really realize how many teams used to be independent. There's more than what I'm just saying, but those are like the big ones that have won national titles as independents. You know, at one point in the 70s and 80s, you know, you had Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Penn State all winning national championships without a conference.
Yeah, conferences have always been a much more Southern thing, I believe, because pretty much every Southern school has always been in some kind of conference. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you can definitely, Notre Dame proves that they can thrive in independence. And I just think a school like University of Texas would thrive as well. But I mean, that's besides the point. Number five, though, my last one for biggest upsets or biggest losers, sorry, of last week was Rutgers. And I mentioned in the article that I wanted to include Nebraska, just because, I mean, they haven't gone 0-3 to start a season since 1946, I believe.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. Either way, they're doing so, so bad, and it's so sad. But I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt with the new coach who's having to rebuild the program. Rutgers does not have that, and Rutgers shouldn't even be a P5 team. So anytime they're not good, I'm including them in my list.
They're so bad.
They're so bad.
They really are.
They're so bad. I mean, they lost to Kansas by a lot.
Like 40.
And to give credit where credit is due, Buffalo is actually a good team this year, and I think they're going to win the MAC. But that doesn't mean that you should get whooped by them. You're a Big Ten team. That is ridiculous. How are they even in the Big Ten?
And even if you even look, like, their basketball team was kind of solid this past couple years, but not good enough to be like a good tournament team or anything like that. But other than that, they don't produce in any sport whatsoever. They're starting to come up a little bit in college wrestling. But other than that, I don't think they're good at any sports.
I mean, I know why the Big Ten picked them up. It was just to try to get into the New York market, because that's the closest big school to New York City. But
yeah.
I just don't, when they did it, obviously they were in the American Conference, and that was the only year that they were in it when we first started it, and then they said that they were going to be leaving to the Big Ten, and even then, I was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I get that Louisville's leaving to the ACC. You know, that makes perfect sense. Good for them. But Rutgers, I remember back then just being like, what the hell are they thinking? There's so many better teams in this conference that could get pulled up.
The Big Ten fucked up because they added some good people like Nebraska and stuff. But
right.
There are some other teams. They could have got Missouri instead of Missouri on the SEC. I feel like they could have chased Missouri. And yeah. There's some other guys they could have got. They could have took a Pitt, stuff like that, because when the Big East kind of fell off,
well,
they
got
some guys out of there.
I always mention this, too, and I mostly mention it as a reference towards the Big 12 during the expansion, or for them, reduction. Louisville was late to get picked up by anybody. You know, they went to the ACC, but not until Rutgers went to the Big Ten, which was at the end of the expansion era. They were the last two teams to go anywhere. So
when they beat Florida in that BCS bowl game back in like 2013-ish, 12 maybe, when Teddy Bridgewater was a senior,
right?
They were in the AAC,
right?
They weren't even an ACC team at that time,
right?
Exactly. That was like one of their last years. Yeah, they tore that shitty conference up. So they weren't. They got in as like a non-power five.
Hey, they didn't tear us up. Fuck you. hey,
did they beat your guys' ass?
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't even win the conference that year. Like, I'm fairly confident.
I think they only had one loss. I think they might have lost to Houston.
No, I think they did. We beat them. We beat them 2 years in a row. I think it was UCF actually with Bortles that won the conference that year.
No, that UCF team actually played in a BCS game with Bortles.
I'm pretty sure it was Bortles UCF that beat Louisville in, what was that, 2014?
No, it was like 2012.
No, the AAC wasn't around until 2014.
Mm-hmm. No, because it was the conference. No, it used to be the Big East.
Right.
It was still the Big East. So it was the Big East.
Okay. Oh, so you're thinking years before that in the Big East.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Had to have been. I got a little confused. Let's take a look at this. I'm actually going to look it up because now I'm a little.
God damn it. Now you're going to make me have to edit this fucking podcast.
Oh, we don't have to edit nothing.
just bad radio. Don't worry about it.
No, this happens all the time. This is candid radio. Let's see who they lost to. They got beat by Syracuse.
Oh, so this is Big East then, right?
Yeah, they.
That was before Syracuse went in. I think I'm thinking of the 2013 season. That was their first year in the AAC. That was all of our first years in the AAC. And Blake Bortles won the conference and beat Louisville. And that was when Lamar Jackson was still there.
Yeah. That was like his freshman year.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, they lost to Syracuse and Connecticut in back-to-back games, and then they still won the Big East, and they played Florida.
Okay.
And they beat Florida.
Either way.
In the Sugar. Yeah.
Back to the main point. My point was, yeah, the Big Ten, anybody should have picked up Louisville, but everybody waited too long. The ACC got them. Huge pickup for the ACC. You know, obviously Louisville is what they are now, and, you know, you can say in hindsight, yada, yada, yada. But at the time, the Big 12 should have got them. The Big 10 should have got them. Somebody.
Well, I'm still not, like, against the Big or Louisville being a solid addition. I mean, just because they're having a down year this year, it doesn't mean that they can't come back. They still got Petrino, and I mean, they're still in a pretty decent area to recruit. Well,
and they've been good at every sport.
Baseball, basketball, they're good at baseball. I mean, they're good at a lot of stuff.
Right.
So
they're a huge asset. It would have been great for the Big 12, since they picked up West Virginia, to have another old school Big East rivalry that's close to the school without a huge fucking gap to Oklahoma.
And that's another team that Big Ten should have targeted, was West Virginia instead of fucking Rutgers or Maryland.
Yeah, can you imagine? It might have been academics, though, to be fair, but West Virginia definitely could have been in the Big Ten. They're definitely close enough. They're a lot closer than they are to the Big 12. All right. Either way, is there any other biggest losers that you would include? One more, maybe.
I mean, not one more. Probably. I don't know. Do you have one in mind?
I don't, because Nebraska was the one that I sat out. So, no, I mean, I think that's it. Week four was pretty bad, in my opinion, in college football. It was pretty uneventful. I know there's a couple pretty good games, but...
I'll say Tennessee.
Okay.
I'm gonna cut you out there and say Tennessee. Now, Florida put up 47. It was 47-21. Florida's offense really didn't even produce that well. It was just that Tennessee committed six turnovers. They went 0-8 in the SEC last year. They're probably going to do it again this year. They're on a downfall like no other. Like, a lot of these blue bloods that are, like, you know, past champions, just Nebraska and Tennessee and...
Well, I mean, I said this last year. I don't think Tennessee is ever going to come back. I really don't. I know that sounds drastic, but I'll tell you this. Recruiting in Knoxville is difficult. I know they're in the SEC, but they get out-recruited by everybody because nobody wants to go to Knoxville. It's not the same program it once was. And I'm being biased here, obviously. But, you know, some G5 schools like Houston or UCF that are in great recruiting territories that can now convince these kids, hey, you don't have to go to Tennessee. You can play here at home. I think some G5 schools in good recruiting territories are going to expand, while schools like Tennessee and Nebraska just completely fall off. They'll always be a big historic program, but they're never going to get back to what they were.
Think about what Butch was able to do. Like, Butch Jones was just a horrible coach, but he recruited so well. I mean, they were a top five recruiting class. Like, he was there how many years? Three to five. No, he's probably there four or five years, right? He's there like 4 or 5 years.
Was it? I'd say four. I can remember four seasons.
I know we had a top five recruiting class twice. And I know that, they had a bunch of five stars on that team, and he just couldn't do shit with them. So,
well, maybe I'll be biting my tongue in 10 years, but I'm sticking with this until I'm proven wrong. I don't think Nebraska or Tennessee will ever be back to what they were. I don't think they'll ever win a national championship again.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's my hot take. All right, that was the Biggest Losers from last week. And this is a great time to pause for our sponsor. So we will be right back after a word from our sponsor. In America today, we're dealing with a serious issue: concussions. Did you know every year there's an estimated 1.6 to 3.8 million sports-related concussions? With such a serious epidemic happening in America every year, we need someone here to help fight. Fight for the people that have been wronged. And that's why I'm here. Jimmy Nelson, the Louisiana Lead Pipe. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of concussions. And that's why I'm here to lay down the lead. If you've experienced a concussion, I'll sue somebody. Hell, anybody. I'm so sick with concussions, I can't even remember the last time I lost a case. If you've played football at any point in your life, there's a chance you don't even remember getting a concussion. I'll sue somebody for that as well. The NFL's been paying out big bucks to anybody that's gotten a concussion. And I think it's time the NCAA paid up. Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, I'll sue anybody. Hell, if there's a Division 4, I'll find them and I'll sue them. Don't let a concussion you got playing college football get in the way of you making millions of dollars. If you're in college right now, try out for the team. You don't even have to make the team. I'll sue them during the tryouts. If you think you might have gotten a concussion playing college football, it's time to lay down the lead, Louisiana style. Call the Jimmy Nelson office today in Lafayette. 555, fuck you, pay me. All right, hey. And we're back after that quick break. What's up?
What are you drinking right now?
Your mom's titties.
Tell the people how savage you got because you don't know how to go buy beer.
Well, I didn't buy beer so we could record this podcast, and I wouldn't make you wait because I'm a good friend. That's why I didn't buy beer. So don't worry about what I'm drinking.
Tell the audience what happened. Did you ice yourself?
Look, I need something to drink. All right, I didn't have anything except some old, like, 3-week-old red wine that's been opened. I don't trust that shit. So, I'm icing myself. Don't worry about it. It's going to help the podcast, I promise.
Yeah, that's not like a manly ice house either. This is like a Smirnoff ice. Yeah. Just thought the audience should know what you're dealing with here.
Yeah, you know, but I'm just fucking being a man, talking college football, hanging out with my palm chi dog, and drinking Smirnoff Ice. What's up?
All right, Heisman hopefuls.
And my name's Rattlesnake. Let's just, I want to reiterate yeah. that.
Drinking Rattlesnake, drinking Smirnoff Ice.
Hey, ice has got a bite. Get it?
It looks like snake venom.
All right, what do you got for Heisman hopefuls, Hassel?
These guys definitely wouldn't be drinking Smirnoff Ice. But
well, I don't know. I could make an argument for a couple. Go on.
Yeah, it's true. I got Tua at number one. The guy's got no interception, 12 picks, no interceptions, no turnovers, period. Hasn't played the fourth quarter yet. And, he leads the nation in, like, QBR in turnovers for quarters one through three, and then in the fourth, he's last in QBR because it's zero because he doesn't play. Yeah, so he's ridiculous. He's the best player on the best team. He's the best quarterback in the best conference. And I think that if he just continues doing this, that he's going to win. Now, I was watching a Joe Klatt podcast earlier with him and Matt Leiner. And he's talking about he has Tua number one right now, but he thinks that he's not going to win it down the road, and that it will be Haskins from Ohio State. His reasoning was not because Haskins is better than Tua. He thinks that Haskins will have a better opportunity to showcase his skills in bigger games, and that he doesn't know if Tua will be able to showcase his games because there'd be too many blowouts with the schedule and everything. But I'm thinking to myself that doesn't really make any sense, because Tua still has to play Auburn, LSU, and Georgia in the SEC title game. Those are three games right there that he can showcase his talents more than he's already have already.
Yeah, and what does Ohio State have?
Exact. Penn State and Michigan and Michigan State. Like, nobody that's – none of those teams are powerhouses this year. Penn State's a fourth quarter team, and Ohio State's going to pounce on them early. And Ohio State's not a team that they're going to be able to score 35 in a fourth quarter. You know what I mean? So,
well, I mean, I can tell you that none of those teams are better than Georgia, any of the Auburn, teams or LSU. Name. Yeah,
exactly. So Joe Klatt's made no sense there. And you know what? Another thing is that win against Texas A&M is going to look a lot better at the end of the year, because yep. I think Texas A&M is a good team.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, so they have a good defense too. So it just shows how good he is. I think the only argument you could make off that, like feeding off that, would be that Alabama's just a much better team. So they might look at it like, yeah, he's a great quarterback, but how good is he? Because his team is that much better, you know? That's the only argument I could see, but I agree. I don't see anybody else beating him. It's kind of unfair at this point.
Yeah, I really don't see it. He's gonna split less and less time. He's already is splitting less and less time with Hurts. Like Hurts is only going in garbage time now, where he was coming in packages earlier. Will Greer's another guy, obviously. So Will Greer and Tua are 1-2 in the rating. Tua's number one at 230.5.
Right.
And Greer's number two at 215.8, I think. And then Haskins is third, but Greer still has a couple of big games ahead of him, too. You know, Greer's playing Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU. I mean, he's got some games to prove himself, too.
Well, I think a good argument for Will Greer is that his team is not as good as Alabama, right? So when they win, I think a lot of it's looked at more like, wow, Will Greer's doing really good this year. When Tua wins, it's like, wow, Alabama's really good this year. And that's not trying to take away from West Virginia. It's just the truth.
Yeah, and I agree. And, somebody that you got to, like, a dark horse that you got to look at is Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback that was just named for Clemson, because, you know, he's already a top eight in the QB rating, and he had to split a lot of time. Now that he's taken over full time, Clemson's schedule is kind of weak. I think he's going to end up tearing that shit up. And at the end of the year, his stat line is going to be incredible. He's going to be in a playoff team. I think that he's going to be a dark horse for sure to win that, to win the Heisman. I'm not saying he's going to, but I think he could get invited at least. They may invite more than three this year because the quarterback position is so deep. You may see four or five people invited in New York this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane. A true freshman like that to be that good. And he really is that good. And I agree, I don't know if he'll necessarily win it, but that's just like prolonging when he does. You know what I mean? He's going to win it. He's so good. Kyler Murray, what do you think of him on the list?
I like Kyler Murray. He runs well. He's got a high completion percentage. He's, you know, he's your typical, you know, Oklahoma QB, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like, and it just proves that, like OU's success wasn't completely Baker. Like, Kyler Murray is also really fucking good. It's wild that they can get that good of a quarterback right after Baker leaves.
Yeah, and Texas A&M had him, and now they got Mond, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we can chalk that up to Sumlin, though.
Who are you thinking, Baker? Or no, you're thinking of
Kyler Murray.
Kevin Sumlin?
Yeah, losing Kyler Murray.
Yeah. You gotta think of, like, there's a bunch of dark horses out there too. Like Hawaii's quarterback Cole McDonald's pretty good. He's got like 20 touchdown passes to one pick. I mean, he's slinging the ball all over the place, but he also has a shit ton more of attempts than everybody else.
I think if we're talking dark horses, I don't know. Like, okay, he has no chance, so I don't even know if I should bring up dark horses. But I mean, I do see that Alan Bowman has been mentioned at least with like one vote. And I know it's probably just because my team got our asses kicked by him, but he really is looking like a good quarterback, and he's a freshman.
Yeah. I don't really know how they do QB ratings and why he's so low. He's ranked like in the 20s, like late 20s, but he's got a high completion percentage. He's like one of the top five in yards. He's 10-2 in touchdown interception ratio, and I don't know why his rating's so low. I'm not really sure.
I mean, he didn't play the Ole Miss game, did he?
I don't know.
I don't think he did. Or am I crazy? I could have swore he didn't come in until week two when they played like South Alabama or whoever the fuck they played, that bullshit team week two. I think it was South Alabama. I think that's when he came in and proved that he was actually pretty good, especially as a freshman. And then, you know, whooped our ass. Speaking of Houston, though, Ed Oliver is still on the list.
He did play against Ole Miss. He did play.
But not a majority of the game. I could have swore.
No, he threw 49 passes.
Dude, maybe I'm tripping. I don't know. I do not remember.
It was his worst game. Like, clearly. So like his, yeah, he was 29 for 49, 273, only completed 59% of his passes. He didn't throw a pick though, but every other game he's thrown like, you know, 88%, 73%, 76%. Yeah. So I mean
maybe that's why I don't remember him. He didn't come alive until week two.
He didn't come alive, yeah. And then that Houston game he threw for like 600 yards.
Dude, listen, we won't talk about it. Ed Oliver's still on the list. That's nice. I mean, he stands absolutely no chance, but I think it's nice that they just include him to be like, hey, he's good. He's a good player. Here he is.
You're looking at ESPN list or?
Yeah, I think so. ESPN.
They're picking Ed Oliver out of name recognition and like possibilities. You know, like he hasn't really made that big of an impact this year. I watched him play Texas.
Tech.
Well, yeah, Texas Tech. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't make that big of an effort. All right. It looked like he didn't make that big of an impact is what I meant to say.
I will say though about this, because obviously I watch all of our games. Before this, not many people, I mean, he was a five-star recruit, so I guess people kind of knew about him, but they didn't know about him that much, so he was able to do a lot more. Now that his name's everywhere, no matter who we're playing, they're double or even triple teaming him. So it's really, like, kind of sucks for him because he's not able to do everything that he was last year or the year before that.
Well, the problem is if you're double teaming a defensive tackle, then there should be gaps for your linebackers and other defensive tackles.
Our defensive line does do a pretty good job of putting pressure on the QBs, though. I mean, I know Tech wasn't good, but he did do Alan Bowman did a good job of getting rid of the ball because we did put a lot of pressure on him, and obviously the Arizona game we just tore their asses up, but. Yeah, I mean, Ed Oliver's a great player. I think it's just nice that they still recognize his name. Houston fan, he stands no chance. But it's cool; he'll be a high draft pick.
I think that Trevor Lawrence is the best. If you're going to go dark horse, I think Trevor Lawrence is probably the best to go with, because he actually has a chance to win it if things somehow fall his way.
Right.
But there's other guys that, like, preseason I thought maybe would make the list higher up on the list, like Khalil Tate, whatever.
Yeah, but you got to admit, preseason, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, he should be pretty good this year.
I went to Arizona, and I cheer for them and everything. Okay. But Mackenzie Milton was one of them, and he actually started off real hot for the first 2 weeks. And then Brett Rypien, the quarterback from Boise State.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's another guy I was looking at preseason. And who was another guy I was looking at preseason?
I mean, Milton had a pretty fair argument going into preseason.
Montez from Colorado. He's another guy. He's another guy I had written down as somebody to watch for the year.
But yeah,
he's still
doing
pretty good.
I think you're right. I think the only real dark horse is Trevor Lawrence, because preseason nobody talked about him. Obviously, we all knew about him because he was the number one, you know, recruit. And he's been hyped up, but we definitely weren't like, oh, a Heisman hopeful. True freshman who we're not even sure if he's going to be playing this year. So that's the ultimate dark horse.
It would take some shit to happen for him to even win that. But like I said, there's so many good quarterbacks, and I think they'd find some seats for a bunch of these guys. Because, like, as far as a running back perspective, nobody's really standing out this year. Not even Bryce Love. And Taylor's okay. He's pretty good for Wisconsin, but they're going to lose again.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think you can really put him in there. I don't know. There's a lot of quarterbacks that get love that I don't understand, like preseason. Hornibrook from Wisconsin was getting, like, NFL draft love. And I didn't understand that. He's horrible. He's a horrible quarterback. But they're like, they always hype these guys like Christian Hackenberg and Hornibrook and, like, I don't know, like Jake Herbert from Oregon. Like,
right.
I think he's a decent player, and Oregon obviously does better with him on the field. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But he was like going in preseason number one in some drafts and stuff. And
I can tell you why. I mean, he's a Pac-12 quarterback.
Yeah, with a big arm, and I get it.
Yeah, there's no defense. There's no defense there. So they get really hyped up because they don't have to play any real defense. And, you know, the quarterback always looks really good because they got a lot of passing yards in the Pac-12. And, I mean, it happens every year. There's always a couple of them, especially from the Pac-12. But, I mean, I think we nailed it on the head. There's really just one contender at this point. And he has to really fuck up to not win, in my opinion.
Yeah. Because when you're the best quarterback in the country, the best player on the best team, you're going to win. You know what I mean? You're going to win the damn award. And, and Haskins is actually, for the first time, I hate Ohio State so much.
Nice.
But I will give Haskins credit. He's played extremely well. One knock I will say, before TCU kind of fell apart there, they got some pressure to him, and you saw – what happens when you get pressure on Haskins. He's not bad, but he kind of comes back to earth. You know, when he's getting this time in the pocket, when they're, you know, mismatched at the line, whenever he has time, man, he can sling the ball anywhere with the best of them in the country. But when TCU got pressure on him, he looked good. He didn't look great. You know what I mean?
You know who looked good with pressure? Trevor Lawrence, A&M.
Yeah.
As a true freshman, just think about that.
Yeah.
That kid is so young. And A&M, great defense, putting pressure on him, still getting the ball where it needs to be. I mean, that kid just blows my mind.
Yeah, I actually was really into the Elite 11 the last couple of years, and I watched all the episodes of when Trevor Lawrence was there. It was like him and who else was in there? The dude that's at Dorian Thomas Robinson from UCLA was in there. And a dude from that went to Georgia, who was number one overall recruit. I can't 99 out of 100 times I tell you at the snap of a finger, but I can't come up
of course
now.
When we're recording, that's the one time.
Yeah. Justin something. Fairly. Look it up. It's very important.
Is this very important?
It is very important.
You just need to prove to everybody that you know.
Well, I don't know right now at the top of my damn head because I have to go look at their roster. I'm so mad right now. Justin Fields, and I haven't even got on the damn roster yet. I just popped it out of my head.
Sure, sure.
But no, I really did. I'm
just
looking
so
right
the
now.
Audience knows I texted it to him.
Yeah.
I just want so that anyways, on the record.
Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence were the top two quarterbacks out of that class. And then you have like the Thomas Robinson from UCLA starting now too. He was in there. In Florida had a quarterback that was in there. There's a couple other guys, but anyways, Matt Corrales, he's in there. He was committed to Florida and then ended up going down to Ole Miss. And the whole point is during the whole Elite 11, just Trevor Lawrence just stuck out like a sore thumb to me, like compared to everybody, even Justin Fields. Like Justin Fields adds a good athletic element. Justin Fields is kind of a dual threat quarterback because he can run really well, but he's a pass first, run second quarterback. But from just an overall touch, throwing the ball where it needs to be, like Justin Fields ran away with it when it came to that. I think Fields ended up winning the Elite 11, but Lawrence was the best quarterback that I saw through every episode.
Yeah, and I mean, he's clearly showing that he is still. So, yeah, Heisman hopeful wrap up. I mean, he's the only dark horse, really, and I mean, I don't think there's much argument there. Okay, to finish up the episode, though, real quick, you got to give me some good picks. I know they'll be on bellyupsports.com, and everybody can go there to read whatever picks you have of the week, but for my podcast listeners, I want them to hear a couple picks.
Sure. I got Syracuse plus 25 against Clemson. Okay. I think Syracuse has a really good offense, and I think they can keep up it within at least three touchdowns of Clemson. Clemson's had some pretty decent games this year, some pretty close games, and I think that it is at Clemson, so you know, you got to be a little wary about it, but I think they can cover 25 for sure.
Okay, what else you got?
I'm going to look down here. I want to give you guys the best ones. let's see. Give me a second here. I'll give you three total. I had another really good one. I like Michigan minus 14 against Northwestern.
Okay.
And I like one more. Okay, I like TCU minus 10.5 against Iowa State.
Okay. All right. Do you have the spread pulled up for Texas Tech, West Virginia?
Let's see what that is. I'm taking the over on that game, by the way.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. That's they're going to be scoring a lot.
West Virginia is a 3.5 favorite.
Only 3.5?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I thought they were going to be a little bit higher than that. Never mind. And that was going to be like my sleeper one.
The over 76.5, so for the people out there, take 76.5.
Take over. Yeah, I mean...
I'll have a lot more intricate ones. And actually, the three that I gave you, you may not even make my top 10. Okay. I just really got to look at it tonight, and I'll make sure I make the best picks. You know, I'm trying to keep my...
Right,
keep
obviously.
my picks intact here.
You need those page views. We'll send everybody that way.
I will say this, Indiana is a 17-point favorite over Rutgers, and I think they could definitely get that. So
yeah, and some, definitely. Yeah. Also, just throwing this out there, real fun G5 game to watch, Army at Buffalo.
Man, I was definitely going to tell you that.
That looks like a really fun game.
I would take Army. Army's getting 7.5 in that game. I think you got to take Army plus 7.5 on that one.
Dude, I'm taking Buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm taking Buffalo.
I'm not going to call out that yet. I'm wait for my picks, bellyupsports.com. I will post those picks.
I'm excited.
I'm gonna look at some matchups in that game, see if I can see what's going on in the trenches, because I like to dig deep on my picks. So we'll see what's going on. We'll see what the weather looks like.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like Army right now. I'm leaning towards Army plus 7.5.
Okay.
That looks good.
All right. Well, like I said, everybody go to bellyupsports.com. Check out the rest of his picks. He clearly is doing well with them, and we definitely will have you on later this season. I'm going to have everybody that I had on previously back on later in the season.
Yep, I'm 27-13 on the year for my picks against the spread this year. So I'm doing extremely well. That's, you know, well above industry standards. So if you guys want to make some money, go check out my picks.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, maybe I should put some money down this weekend.
I think so.
Well, I'm broke, though, because I spend all my money on Smirnoff Ice, so I can't really afford anything else.
No, I like Mike's Hard, man. No,
I like to cut it with some Corona. All right.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. We will see you soon in a couple weeks, and good luck on your picks this week. Check out everything he's got at bellyupsports.com.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Peace.